To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation. I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ.
The Book of Jude, living in apostate times. Stay tuned for Abounding Grace Radio.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, today on Abounding Grace, we begin a study in the book of Jude. Jude is a book that is warning us of the problem of apostasy. The New Testament shows us and warns us of this everywhere, that the church will face the problem of savage wolves coming in and destroying the church's doctrine and wanting to harm people. The call in the book of Jude is to contend earnestly for the faith. The problem is most Christians don't take that call very seriously. We become nice people. We have not been willing to count the cost in calling out error in the church, mainly because today we live in one of the most biblically illiterate eras ever in the history of Christianity. Well, the book of Jude helps us with this to give us battle plans. It helps us to be able to think and how to go forward in apostate times. And I think this is a great help for the church today as we see so many shifts in society and in the church, that we would take seriously the call to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. We read all of your correspondence, and 100% of your support goes to continue to take Abounding Grace Radio to major population bases in the U.S., in Canada, and throughout the continent of Africa. Just to encourage you, we just now are beginning to air in the Denver area. So the Lord has opened a door for the gospel, and we continue to go through that door as the Lord provides the resources. Well, here is the program now from the little book of Jude, which I have called A Clear and Present Danger. This is part one that you can find right online at agradio.org. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
The purpose of Jude is to take battle arms and to take the call to contend earnestly for the faith seriously. That's the heart of this little book. Why? Because apostasy and because false teachers are very real and they are very abundant. God has never taken apostasy from his design lightly and tolerated it. He hasn't. He's going to make that case. He's going to prove that. So he's calling the church to contend for the faith. He's calling the church to think through these things, and it provides a way for a church to go forward. I believe it's particularly helpful in the times that we live. It's helpful because it not only does it give us battle plans, it gives us a way forward out of the corruption we're living in to think about as Christians of how to handle these things, how to deal with some of this stuff. Tonight, all I want to do is briefly look at the introduction. It provides us with the occasion of the epistle to help us understand why he's writing it, what is happening, and what our most important calling is in what the scriptures call perilous times. Remember, Paul will say that. In the last days, perilous times will come. And this is the book to help us understand what to do. So he begins here, which is really important, with an encouragement. And then he provides in this introduction a call, and then he gives the basis for that call why we have to take that call seriously. As I was reflecting on this little book and thinking about the little book of Jude, I thought, what an interesting place that the Holy Spirit decided to put it. At the end of John, 1 John, you have a very serious call that 2 John and 3 John will tackle of, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they be of God, because many false prophets, many false teachers have gone out into the world. And following these epistles here, then comes this little epistle of Jude that is put right before the book that announces the revelation and the coming of Jesus Christ. So this is interesting. I don't know that I've heard too much preaching on the book of Jude. I think it gets lost between 1 John and Revelation. But it's fitting that the Spirit saw to, in his providence, to order the books and to have it so that we know this little call comes right before the book of Revelation. This is the trumpet. This is the sounding of the alarm in the New Testament. This is Ezekiel 33 in the New Testament. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and make them their watchmen, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Jude functions this way. It's the call. It's the watchman. It's the sounding of the alarm. It's a book, of course, again, warning against apostasy and helping us understand it. Apostasy, of course, is defection from the faith. And I'm going to explain that more along as we go here. It is knowing the truth and abandoning the truth. It is receiving the knowledge of the Word of God through the Word and then walking away from it. John talks a lot about this. But they were not of us, for if they were of us, they would have remained with us. But now they went out from us that it might be shown that they are not of us. He's talking about apostasy. And Jude is showing us the consequences of that. Now, before he does anything, he begins the book with a massive encouragement, and he wants the believer to understand that whatever he's about to say, he's concerned about this pastorally, which I'm concerned about this pastorally to preach such a book. He's concerned about it pastorally that believers who have been justified or trusting in Christ, he's going to keep you. He's not going to lose you. So in that sense, Jude becomes the most comforting book. As a matter of fact, it's bracketed almost like a giant chiasm again. It begins with this thought and ends with this thought. That he is going to keep you. Notice verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. It's so beautiful here as we open up the little epistle. To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Isn't that just a beautiful introduction to the epistle? Jude is going to say very hard things and things that are even frightening, and now he goes right to position up front in Christ. His epistle is not to scare the true believer, it is to warn the true believer. And so it's no coincidence that he begins by saying to you who are called. That he's not using the word there to say that you accepted the invitation. He's using the word there as a designation of Christians. In other words, I was thinking about this. If this morning the world gave these Christians in Antioch the name Christian, God gives you the name the called. That's his name for you. You are my call. You're my people. I've called you. I'm going to keep you. You're mine. It's having the effect of, you're my claim. You're kept for Jesus. He earned you. He saved you. And how beautiful this language here. In God the Father, He has loved you. You are loved by God the Father. This is what Jesus said, I'm going to help you to understand. And Jude took that and ran with that. You are loved by the Father. You're kept for Jesus. You're preserved by Him. What's interesting is that Peter and Jude, it seems that Peter borrowed a lot from Jude. The stuff that Peter wrote, and Peter's second epistle is all about apostasy. It's all about this same stuff, that he took a lot of this, and the same sort of things he seems to be looking at from Jude and learning from Jude, knowing that it was written earlier. For this very thing, Peter begins his epistle with. He has begotten us to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven and kept for you. Your inheritance is waiting for you. You understand that? It's waiting for you. That's the language. It's being kept. It's on reserve. It's all there for you. A salvation that does not fade away. So, have I made the case here? At the beginning of, you'll see why we need this as we go. You're chosen unto salvation. You are the called. You are loved by the Father. And you are, as Jesus died for you, kept for Him. Salvation's yours. Inheritance is waiting. Then He gives a blessing. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Three things you've never merited. He's given you mercy, He's given you love, and He has given you peace. So we need to hear this as we begin this little book. How comforting, so much so that He's going to conclude on this note. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and on that day He's going to present you faultless before the throne. Did I preach the gospel yet? Now we get to the heart of the epistle. He begins with a call. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. I had it in my mind when I believed that I was being set apart to write an epistle and speak as it would be drafted to write about salvation. I wanted to talk gospel. I wanted to. This is what I wanted to get to. This was always put in the apostles' hearts and in the writers' hearts of the New Testament. Here, this particular man, Jude. They always wanted to talk about the gospel. They always wanted to talk about Jesus and common salvation that we have. That's the note we always want. That's the way we want to go. That's the heart of what we want to talk about. That's the goal of what Paul said, woe is me if I don't preach it. But I realized that what I'm seeing happening right now, none of that will really matter if we don't do something else first. We won't even have a common salvation to talk about if we don't do something else. This little book becomes really important in the New Testament. If something else is not pressed home, something immediate, something that we don't get heart to heart with about that's going on, it's not going to matter. I'm not going to be able to write about common salvation very long. See, I found it necessary to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He had sat down and would speak, and you know, and as these epistles came to us, they would have a writer who that was spoken, it was drafted. He had a certain group of Christians in mind, but this little epistle became a circular letter that went to all the churches, and he was ready to tell them about what Jesus had done, a happy, upbeat letter. But he says, I was compelled. I have a burden. I've got to get off my chest. That's the sense of this. Something is painfully at work. I remember this is early on. Something's painfully at work that's undermining our whole cause. And people don't take that seriously. I want to talk to you then about contending earnestly for the faith. That's what we call polemics. Polemics, a strong refutation of error. Why? Because the very faith, once for all delivered to the saints, is under attack. Now, Jude says it was once for all delivered to the saints. When he talks about faith here, he's not talking about justification by faith, the receiving of Jesus. He's talking about the deposit of Christian truth, the Christian faith, the deposit of what we believe that's been given to us, a faith, a belief system, once for all delivered to the saints. God gave us a deposit of truth in this age. He has given to his church one deposit of truth. I told my father-in-law I was preaching this. He goes, oh, Jude, everyone loves Jude 4, verse 4. Contend for the faith once for all delivered. And he said, you know, Albert Martin used to say about that all the time. And I thought, this is really interesting what he said. He said, Albert Martin used to say that is the verse to prove that it's a faith once for all delivered, and therefore anyone who comes along after that and delivers something else is false. And it just is such an important point. Every cult, ism that is wrong, that has delivered something else other than the deposit, is false. There's one deposit. There's one deposit that's been handed to us. One deposit of faith, of the faith, the Christian faith, that is able to make you wise for what? Salvation. So he's working from this, and the heart of it all then comes down to this call. You have to contend for this. It's a word that uses athletic imagery to convey a hard, strenuous effort to fight for something. I was fascinating to know that, you know, people who go into the Olympics and they go in and they train hard to work to go into the Olympics. They don't just love their sport. They're competing in it. They live in it. They live to accomplish something, and they dedicate their whole lives to it. 4 to 8 hours of training, I'm sorry, 4 to 8 years of training in a sport for somebody has to come before making it onto an Olympic team. That's the general rule. And then their schedules are 32 hours a week of grueling labor on the body. And this is the language that he's using here when it comes to the faith. This is the kind of strenuous effort that we have to give to hold on to it. But we don't think this way. Strenuous effort. It's hard in our day because what it means is that you have to be willing to say something's wrong. that's almost becoming nearly impossible in our day. And it's as if what Jude is saying to us, we're contending for the great reason here, and then he begins to explain that great reason of why we have to give ourselves to contend in verse 4. For certain men, certain people, have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I wanted to talk about grace. I wanted to talk about salvation, but guess what I'm witnessing? Here's what they're doing to our message. They are taking that message of grace and gospel and forgiveness and substitutionary atonement, everything that we believe, ungodly people, and they're turning it into sensuality and denying our Master. He's saying that they've taken grace and made it now moral license or immoral license of lustful indulgence to go do whatever they want. And they say, Jesus is okay with that. He died for us. He set us free. You know what that's called, right? It's antinomianism of the worst kind. Against all moral law. Peter picks up on this. He fleshes it out a little bit more. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. This is not there might be. There will be. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. That's the heartbreak of it all, right there. Many will follow their sensuality, guided by whatever their hedonistic lives want. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Both Jude and Peter use their profession. They're saying, we're bought. Jesus bought us. And he bought us so that then we can go out and do what we want. Whatever we feel like doing, whatever we want to do with our bodies, whatever makes us happy. And the craziness of it all is, it's justified by false teachers. It's accepted. It's taught. Now, you think we're living in a time like that? It's always been a time like that. It was a time like that in the first century. But this is getting really hard, beloved, in a culture that demands now that we accept their behavior. It's a kind of perfect storm right now in Christianity when biblical illiteracy is at its all-time high, and we've been told for years that doctrine is just dividing, and combined with a lowest common denominator Christianity that could ever be created so that there are no longer doctrinal standards. This is what happens. This is what you open the door for. And if you question it, you're called mean and bigoted and hated. It's hard. How do you speak the truth in love in that environment? I want to. The encouragement is the battle has always been going on. And he's going to take us through history to show us this. That's what Jude is going to do. It's going to help us with that to see what happened in the past and how to think through it in the present. And I want you to think about the magnitude and devastating effects, Jude is going to say, of apostasy throughout history and how the church dealt with it, how God dealt with it. But for now, he says, here's what you have to realize. Here's the hard part to it. Certain men have crept in. They've wormed their way in. It'd be bad enough if we're just dealing with it out there, right? But that's not what he's saying. The hard part to it all is he's saying the battle most often lies within our own doors, within our own communities, among our own people. That's what's hard. And that's where he's going with this. I've often thought when Paul was leaving Ephesus, the motion that comes out of that passage is just striking. Listen to this. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, listen to this. So they're going to come in. Then he says this. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, this is Jesus' language everywhere, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with what? Tears. I cried about this. You can't treat people who undermine your faith and the Word of God lightly.
Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.